All right, guys, we're back. Episode 24, Contractor Compass Podcast. Today, we got the crew in town. Hopefully for, you know, the remainder of this call, Tom's got a hurricane coming at him.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and people buy payments.
I'll be buying a lot of them here in a minute.
I was just going to say that. Hurricane's coming, and they're going to be buying a lot of payments because how bad is that supposed to be? Because I got a bunch of buddies that just went down to Florida for a sales conference. They're in Miami right now.
Miami's getting feeder bands, but Tampa's going to get about an 8-foot storm surge. Tallahassee's going to get a 20-foot storm surge, and it's coming into Tallahassee as a Category 4 hurricane. So we'll get probably 50, 60 mile an hour winds coming by Tampa, but they're worried about the storm, the high tide tonight at 11 o'clock with the 8-foot storm surge coming in, because all the wind's going to be coming offshore, blowing that water up into Tampa Bay.
Yeah. We have a call. I have a call with a guy in like an hour that is in Tampa right now. And he's like, yeah, you know, we'll still have the call if we have power.
Nice.
I'm like, I'm sitting here in Minnesota. It's like 72 degrees, 72 degrees wind or two. There's two wind at 2 miles an hour. I played 18 holes of golf this morning. I'm like,
That's what you do. Yeah, we're getting some of the remnants. It's been pouring all day, and it's supposed to pick up to 6 mile an hour winds, but
I got
nothing like they're having. My buddy sent me pictures. He's already got major roads down there in Florida already covered with water.
That's
completely flooded out. Yeah,
clear water on the beaches. The roads that run up along the beach are already underwater.
Yep.
That's ridiculous. Well, we might get a sprinkle here this evening, so I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm worried about you.
Oh my god! All right, well, let's jump into it. So we're gonna chat. I thought this would be an interesting topic for us to talk about because this is happening a lot. And I talk to a lot of owners now on a daily, or I don't want to say on a daily basis, but I talk to a lot of owners that are like, every company around me is getting bought up by private equity, and they're all getting rolled in, and you know, they've got, I don't have marketing budgets to compete with these guys and blah, blah, blah. So let's talk about, I wanted to talk about one, like what they can do, right? Like, you don't have an endless budget for marketing, right? So what can you do to compete with these types of companies? Also, how much does it really affect you? I mean, just an open conversation, right? How much does it really affect you? How much does it affect them? Sometimes they don't even know that people are being acquired, right? Yeah. So it's like, you know, suddenly they're like, well, I found out that, you know, these guys that was, you know, Bob's AC, you know, that he's been bought out for a year and a half. I was wondering why he just started marketing. He's been doing this and this, right? So recognizing it, understanding what to do when that happens, what you can do, things that you can play to that your favor. Because honestly, I don't know. Can you go out and say, you know, if I was the private owner, and you know, all these equity firms are buying up everything around me, I'd say, hey, I'd make an ad and say, hey, listen, all the guys around us are getting bought up by big firms, right? How you'd say it, you want to say it somewhere that customers can understand it. But hey, when you give us a call, you're still going to see me. You're going to see my text, and we're going to take care of you.
And we're a 25-year-old business.
Yeah, for the last 20 years.
Family owned.
Correct.
Turf wars.
Yeah, dude, for real. So anyway, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
It is, man. So I can tell you, I'm in a heavily area that is the same. We have big companies come in buying big companies. I'm talking massive companies buying $250 million companies, right? So, and then they're just soaking up all the little ones. Like, so in our area, we have a big company. They did about $150 million a year. They got bought. And then what they did is they started buying all the little companies around them. And it's almost turning into a monopoly in the area. And at the end of the day,
are they staying under the same name? Or are they all?
One of the big $150 million ones stayed under the same name, but the other ones didn't. They folded. And then they just ran they rolled their book of business up under them. And they could do that because the company that stayed the same has been in the area for 40 years.
Yeah.
So they people are okay with it. The only problem is, when those things happen, really the biggest thing you start to notice in the market is the influx in available employees, technicians. Yeah. You know, you start seeing a ton of resumes fly around because people are like, oh, I don't want to go to corporate. People that work there really don't want to.
Yeah.
Now, as far as customers, man, they really don't see any difference in it whatsoever. So you will have customers that will say, hey, I used to be with X, Y, and Z, and now I noticed that I have so-and-so that's taking care of me. And I did hear that, you know, they were bought out with them. And we'll go and service them. Now, you can two ways, depending on where you are in your stage, right? If you're a brand new company, you're kind of trying to enter into the market, or you've been in the market for like a year, honestly, creating turf wars is going to be a tough one, right? So, because they're going to squash you out the market at some point. And then, and not just in marketing. Marketing is always going to take place. Like if you're a $10 million company, a $5 million company, your marketing budget is not going to keep up with 150 anyways. You never even were in the same league.
Correct.
As them for the last many years. So yeah, that has no bearing on it. But if you're, if they're your heavy competitor and they're using the same name, they just got bought out. Again, that's going to now fall into the play that yes, your super impression rate is going to drop.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, really the way that you kind of can curb that is by keeping yourself relevant to the community in itself. And that's just really where what we do as much as possible. And some people will flip to more of a branding thing. That's kind of really where for some of the smaller companies they have to do is they have to stay relevant within the community, stay in more contact. As long as you provide good customer service. And at the end of the day, we're in a economy where a lot of it is price selling.
Yeah.
At least big companies have to take a loss, and they can only do that for so long. So, you know, the companies that are bought out are known as premium companies now at this point. And literally the feedback we get from customers is, man, I used to pay $292 for this. Now I'm paying $450. Like that's a huge jump. And we're like, yeah, it's the overhead now. You know, you're paying for their boats and their big houses and their cars. And you're paying for all that when you're paying that premium price. And like, there's no difference. The same technicians that work there now work here, right? Correct. Again, the same quality of work. So that's really the thing. But as far as marketing goes, you've never been in that ball field anyways.
Correct. It's funny. So on that point that you made, so we talked about this a few times, just ego, right? And not even ego, that's the wrong word. Like actually understanding what the hell is going on and where you are at in comparison. Yeah. So we, as a marketing firm, we talk to a lot of small companies.
Yeah.
A lot. Right. Because those are the ones that are looking for marketing. Right. And a lot of the times, right, you'll have big fish that switch every now and then. And it's funny because this topic, I was serious when I said, with, you know, there's a lot of guys who are like, oh, everything's being bought up. How am I supposed to keep up? I can't compete. You could never compete in the first place because you're doing $1.5 million and they were doing 20.
Yeah. You're never in the same league anyways.
It was like, so that's something to note as well. Like, don't get so down on yourself.
Yeah.
Like, you're just playing the same game, dude. They were crushing you before. They're still crushing you now.
Yeah. And you just got to get visible. Correct. You got to just get exposure.
Yes. It's not like give up. They're crushing you. It's like, dude, don't get so worked up that they got bought out.
Yeah.
Like, it's still all your own game.
It's all psychological and it's all perspective.
100%. Tom.
And that's it.
As you were talking about even margins or whatever, I mean, down in South Florida, it's a rodeo. And, you know, obviously the larger corporations have to make a certain amount of margin where the smaller guys can obviously afford to work on less. So you could get in a price war with those guys because of the margin.
Yeah.
But really nobody wins in that. But if you're playing the game that it's like, look, a 25-year-old family owned business, you know, to much what Jason was saying is like, look, yeah, we still got Dave here. We still got Bobby here. We still got Judy that answers the phone. And, you know, we're here for you. We're part of the community. We go to the same, you know, we go to church here and, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. What does Tony Robbins say? Right. I mean, a big one that sticks, and he talks about in 2008 when the recession hit and a lot of these companies started folding, and I don't know if you guys heard the story, but his buddy was like, man, he sat in one of his seminars and he's like, dude, I'm going to do what you said. I'm not going to fold. What I'm going to do is I'm going to play and not really play to the emotion of significance. Cause there's seven human basic needs that everybody has. And one of them is to feel significant. And whatever way that is, reverse significance saying, oh, I don't need it, or significance saying, hey, I need $1 million Ferrari so I feel special. Whatever it is, right? Everybody has that need to feel significant. So what his buddy did is why everybody else was shrinking. He went out and he bought a big old freaking hotel right on the beach on the strip, upped his services, and then he ended up getting a very high elite clientele. And he raised his prices. When everybody else was dropping their prices, this guy was raising his prices during a recession.
Yeah.
And his logic to it was, during this time when everybody else is fading away and shrinking and dropping their quality, I'm going to up my quality, do more for my customers, gain them during this period so that when everything comes back, I already own this customer base. Yeah. So like I tell a lot of, my client now, I don't work with many anymore, but I tell my client now, during these times, we just got to do more. We got to do more services. Start to open up a little bit. If you weren't doing duck cleanings, start doing duck cleanings, like things that are relative to you.
Yep.
Things that we talked about before, do packages, right? Do certain packages together. Work with other contractors and offer that bundle. You can do things like if you look on Amazon, and this is just a very basic sales tactic to appeal to the customer base or the audience. If you look on Amazon, the products that do better, and one of the tricks is don't just sell the razor, right? Sell the razor with a bottle of shaving cream, right? Yeah. Now it's a bundle. So when you're doing things where you're adding a contractor with some other service that you give, and you're kind of creating that ability to have that convenience, and you can make it more convenient for them, it's simple things like that. You don't have to go out of your way to be the best tech savvy person out there. You just gotta, how can you make your customer's life a little bit easier and provide that one extra thing for them? Yep. And that's going to help them feel significant in that purpose. Drop off a gift basket. Big companies get lost with the connection with the customer.
I was just going to say, I think you're on to something there. Yeah. Where like just if we're talking bundles of services, mm-hmm. right? But just other little things that you can actually follow through on that they won't be able to follow through on. Yeah. And you don't have to think of 12 things, right? You can think of three or four, and one or two, one of them is going to work really well.
Absolutely.
And that's what's going to stick.
Yeah, right? 100%.
And we've done this. So I'll give an example, and it's kind of relative. But obviously this is for the marketing space. This was years ago, 5-6 years ago. And I had to figure out how we could compete in the Facebook space as a marketing firm with all these other bigger firms without being the guy who's offering, $2,000 check money back guarantee. We'll give you a house if things don't work out, which we know nobody stands behind when they make those.
No, exactly.
Right. So I'm like, I refuse to do something like that. So I'm like, oh, what can I do? And at the time, no one was doing video ads. Now everybody, no one was doing it. And so that's what I thought of. Right. I was like, okay, that was one thing. Right. I tried a few different things. I tried different packages and consulting and different things like that. Right. But that was the one thing that really, really made us stand out. And it wasn't even a service. It was just a way of getting people's attention.
That's it.
But we had people that were four times bigger than us that had been around for a lot more years that I was in groups with that are like, hey, what's your cost per call? Because so much better at that. So testing little things, finding that.
Yeah, that's huge. You know,
moving back to the home service space, that could be your customer service, that's going to be obviously massive, right? Because if you can have the sexiest referral program ever, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Little things, right? It's not the end of the world. Honestly, it something that Alex Hormozi says, right? And this is, he's in the marketing space as well, but he also, he owns multiple companies now with acquisitions.com. But something he says too is for like the little guys, and let's take that as the privately owned home service company that's doing $5 million a year versus the $20 million one that just got bought up by PE. He goes, dude, run with the things that you have that they can never have. Like, as in, when you call me Bob, I'm the one that's going to chat with you, and I'm going to send the guys out. And if they have questions, they're going to call me Bob.
Yeah.
Because I'm always going to be here. And I started it. And you're going to talk to my wife, Susie, in the office if you have any problems. And I'll come out on Christmas if I have to.
Yeah.
Like,
so, and that's good, man. So, it's funny, and to piggyback off that, there's an ad that I'm getting ready to I kind of put together, and they're kind of doing it because we're obviously in a political environment. And what I did is I set it up just like the political ads are, right? And it wasn't trashing any other company, but the other companies were stated as competitor, right? And then it's us, and then it shows competitor. And then at the end, and it goes through a bunch of the things that we do right and they do wrong, right? We do right, they do wrong. And it goes into this political scenario. And all of a sudden at the end, it puts up a side-by-side and it goes into now cost. So it talks about things like the economy, not really the economy, but cost to their house, right? We're at this price. Their average price is here, yeah. Right? Our time to be on site is here. Their average time is here. And it goes through these things and it really points it out. And then at the end, and at the end it says, and X, Y, and Z company approves this message, right? And yeah. It's just kind of fun because it plays to the environment that we're in right now and everything that they're seeing. So you're in that same psychological mindset. But it's something where nobody else does it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people stay away from that stuff, right? Nobody else does it. But it gives you a stark contrast because, hey, we're the $5 million company that's been in the area for 42 years, and we stick with our customers. We're sponsoring the Little League teams. We're in the stores. We're door knocking. We're on the boots on the ground on the streets. We're personable. You can walk in and talk to us. We're not this huge conglomerate that's being – and everybody's being bought up and sucked up. And that's part of the conversation, right, is why everybody else is being bought up in the environment that we're in, because big businesses are crushing small businesses. We're still that small business, right? And that's the play that you can do. Not only does it help with branding, but it helps with getting the leads in the door too. So that – and it's an easy way to compete.
100%. Yeah, 100%. There's things that just, you know, a big heavy pockets just can't get you, right?
Yeah, because your technicians, they'll ask for estimates all the time out there. Like, I'd be like, hey, oh, go ahead, Tom.
Don't worry, Tom. You can interrupt us. You're the worst interrupter I've ever met.
Right. He's like, hey, guys. Oh,
somebody put his hand up.
Well, I know you guys are sick and tired of seeing people buy payments, but people buy people. Okay, yeah. It is a relationship.
They used to do that, Tom. Let's be easy now. They don't do that no more. And I was on the side of the fence did that, buddy. That was not my family. We did not
do walked that. Right into that one.
Okay.
I'm just kidding, buddy. I got you. And if they do it, they don't tell nobody.
We'll pass that, Tom. We'll move on. Right.
People buy relationships.
There
can
you
we
go.
Say it
that way?
There you go. Yeah, I know some congressmen that do that, too.
Hey, it was hanging out there. It was low hanging fruit. You're a dirty, dirty person. Yeah. God damn it.
Just being real, man.
Damn it.
Bottom line is that what I say is it's a relationship type business, right? In other words, does someone want to do business with a multi-billion dollar company, or do they want to call Dave at Bubba's AC because they know he always comes out on time and he takes care of their crap for them?
Yeah.
That's it. That's exactly it, man.
And then guys, do you know, is there, and just back to the original point, is there any I'm sure you could get a cease and desist or something, but is there any real repercussion you can get from like, hey, listen, like all these guys are acquired. They're all owned by big firms. I'm the one that, you know, we're not, we're different because of this. There's really nothing that can happen there.
There's no defamation. So no, you can't get a defamation lawsuit on it. Depending on what you're saying, if you're saying things that are untrue, you can, and you'll have to retract, but there are companies that will do that. The only thing I do say it is, it's so what they call it is turf war, right? And you can kind of blackball yourself because a lot of big name, and so I tell everybody, do whatever you think is right. Here's where I'll just caution that part is a lot of bigger companies do know a lot of bigger company distributors and people and connections. And what happens is then all of a sudden you're trying to get your equipment from XYZ, but they've known Bobby over at the big old company for years. Yeah. And Bobby's like, dude, he just blackballed me all over. And it puts a bad taste in people's mouth. And then they don't want to work with you. So I just caution. Now, if you go about it, just know who you're dealing with. If you've got a secure distributor, you got a locked in, you know, you're good. But just be cautious.
Look beyond the actual legal action. Just look at people's relationships and how they can screw you over. Yeah.
100%. And that's why a lot of people bite their tongue even when you're on site. Like my guys, I tell them all the time, if you see a sticker and it's a crap job, don't throw them under the bus. Just advise them what you're going to do. And if they start to comment negatively, well, that person didn't tell me that. I can't speak to what they did. I wasn't here, right? What I can tell you is that this is how we do it. We do things right. And that's it, right? And we leave
100%.
It. 100%.
Yeah.
Take the high road, right?
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah. So in that case, you know, in really any case, best case, unless you really know what you're dealing with. And don't ever just, you know, I would never tell somebody to go just throw people under the bus. Like, you're going to find a creative way to say it. Right. But
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like that political ad, right? That's the easy way to do it. Competitor and us.
Yeah.
And you can just generalize it for sure, because if you're doing something different and you can stand out, tell the world.
Yep.
And tell the world that the other ones are not doing it. Just don't specifically name them, lump them all into one thing, competitor. And then this is why you do it, and you do it different, and you do it better.
Yep. 100%. 100%. Okay. So, sorry, Tom, are you going to say something?
No. He's like, you know what? I'm going to think about it this time. Yeah, that's awesome.
That was awesome.
He said, "That's why I just hold up my sign, man. It says that's
great. I'm just here to hold the sign up."
Yeah,
that's probably going to get me in trouble somewhere along the line too. I don't know. So.
Right.
At least it'll come up with something to make a comment about it.
Remember when we first started this, Jason? And I was like, "Yeah, so." Can we cuss on here? Like, what can we say? Like, raise my hand every time.
Yeah, exactly. Just push the go button, man. We'll have a red light, green light.
Be polite and not interrupt your flow. So that's why.
That's good, man. Because I have ADHD. So if you did that, I'd be all lost.
Speaking of us being all over the place, so like routing back to the Tom's really got.
I do have a comment to make on that, as far as like, you know. You talk about big corporations and things like that. Getting involved with like the church bulletin and putting a little small ad cost you nothing, but getting involved with the social aspect and where I live in here in the Tampa area, there's the Great West Chase, which is, you know, it's a run for cause and raising money, and there's a cancer research deal that I'm involved in and things like that. But putting yourself out there in the community while you're wearing your shirt. And it's like, you know, you're doing good, but at the same time, you know, you're getting a little of that, you know, social recognition.
Title. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, little things that other guys can't do or won't do or aren't willing to do. Or
yeah, the door knocking's huge, right? Going out during holidays is big. Doing trunk or treats is big. I mean, it's small things like that big companies don't even bother with anymore because they don't need to, right? But it really will bite them in the butt on the – like their branding's already there. They got the billboards, they got the TV spots, they got the radio spots, and that's fine. But where they miss, fill the gaps in, because I promise you, they're not doing it all. 100%. And I've been with the big ones, and I'm like, okay, boots on the ground. Everybody misses that one. Boots on the ground, door hangers, giving out sending personal letters to them. Things that you can do because you have the time to do it.
Yep.
Is what you need to do. Hire somebody in at $19 an hour that wants to be an apprentice and send them out door knocking for the first month to all your top customers. You can pull tickets on them, send it to them, send out, you know, a $5 gift basket in the hand of your technician knocking on the door. I don't need nothing from you. I just want to give this to you. And when you start not needing anything from somebody and you're showing up to give them something, that's going to give you a way different, because nobody else is doing it. I promise you.
100%. I think a lot of people maybe look past it until they're forced to look at it. Like,
A good point.
They do have PE come in and take everything up, and right? They're like, okay, what can I do? Right. I'm really struggling. Right. Or whatever it may be. And they look past it until they have to take a look. And then it's, you know, if, like you said, that people may be in a stage where they think maybe I don't have to do it, 'cause I've got all these other things going on. Whereas like, you know, you may have those things, right? But the return is here if you're willing to actually still do some of the things that you might not initially think so, just like door knocking or gifts or but you have to make sure, especially because there's a lot of creative ways to send shit and give shit to people where it looks real personalized and it's not.
Yeah, 100%.
So like, and people know that now. So like make sure, even though it sounds like, oh, if I'm writing them a card and giving them a gift basket, like you said, like this is an example, right? Doesn't have to be like that.
Yeah.
Whatever. Make sure that you have a tech hand it to them.
Yeah. Oh, that's it. That's the key.
Yeah.
Don't send it in the mail.
Because you can order handwritten letters now that are just not real.
Yeah.
Like it has the pen marks.
Yeah.
They're so good now.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, back at like literally 4 years ago or 5 years ago, they were just coming out. But the way that you'd figure out if it was bullshit or not is like, you'd be able to put it on a piece of paper and kind of like use the pencil sideways method and see if you could see the outlines.
Yeah, exactly.
The pressure writing with a pen.
Yeah.
And now they even do that.
Ah. That's like, good.
I don't know how they do it, but they do it.
That's too funny.
But yeah, so like just stuff that people can't do. So that's like more of the, we kind of talked about like the offer side, bundling stuff together, the marketing side, what you can do, get creative offers with marketing too. Your big guys are all going to run financing. They're all going to run whatever. Give people, give people a Yeti cooler. Give people like something unique. Give people something. Do not give them, don't give them a goddamn gift card to a restaurant.
Yeah, that's a fun one.
I'm sorry, guys. I've never seen it work.
Yeah. No.
Not with the ad itself, right? Like maybe when you're in the home or when you're maybe, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Cool.
But like I've never seen it on an ad work. Don't give them a coupon for a getaway on a trip. Like nobody cares.
No. So here's one good thing that we did is we tasked our technicians to come back. It was a twofold thing. It was a mission to get them to start opening their blinders and look around and start connecting with the customer. You got to find one thing the customer likes. And we told them, we didn't need to know a trip. We didn't need to know this, but look around the house and see, was it something they had a bunch of Stanley Cups, right? Did they have a bunch of knickknacks? Did they like model trains? You know, now the technician's being aware to connect with the customer, but then they get it back to us. Now we know Pam likes, you know, to have these certain type of unicorn figurines or like knickknacks.
A lot of owls in the house.
Yeah. So we put a note in her file, and what we do is we will purchase that and then we'll deliver that back to her. Hey, listen, last time we were here, we want to say we appreciate you choosing, you know, X, Y, and Z for a company. And here, we wanted to get you this for a gift. Because that becomes personal, right? I get that gift giving is tough, man. It's tough for all men. I can promise you that.
Yeah.
But when you're walking in somebody's house and you're in their world, you can find out really fast what they like and what they dislike and like what's a hobby to them. And it's nothing that's going to be crazy. Literally one time, one of them small figurines, it was actually a train. It was a model train. We didn't go for the big, big, big ones, but it literally only cost $32. Right. Yeah. So it was something very small to give to a homeowner. And if you're not doing it for all 15,000 customers, you're doing it for the ones that you work with. And those are the things that's going to stick with them for a long time.
You know, when you go and you do a repair or whatever at this house, that you create a 10% off or something, some kind of coupon cards that you like door hangers that you go for that way and for that way.
Oh, yeah.
And it gives them reason to call you because you just gave them, you know, like, hey, you need
100%
cleaning. Here's 10% off.
Jay, something I was thinking too is I was just at Tom's the other day and Tom loves dolphins, right? So I was in his house and he's got pictures of dolphins. He's got a statue right in his front yard of him shirtless riding a dolphin. And I was thinking to myself, I was like, God, I'm going to have to get Tom a dolphin.
I get Tom a dolphin. You know why? Because I heard about that story that Tom got saved by a dolphin when he was drowning in the ocean one time.
Look at his face.
You don't think about me?
Tom.
Just kidding. If you're listening to the podcast, you're not watching us live. Dolphins. I don't know.
Tom doesn't love dolphins, but that would be the thing, right? It's something like I've seen figurines of cats, dude. I've seen, and I'm just using knickknacks as a thing because typically a lot of people put those up and they're out. But I've seen cigars. I've seen mugs, like these weird, like German looking mugs.
Yeah.
I've seen all kinds of stuff because that's my conversation starter with somebody. Yeah. Is something in that I've seen people where they've had karate belts up and I've talked to them about, oh wow, do you do karate? No, my son does karate or something like that, or something about their kids or something like that, their dogs, their pets, anything to do with that. They got pillows of freaking Scottish whatever type dogs.
Just think you can go tenfold into it. So let's say you do that to a customer, and like you said, you don't do it for everyone, because like if we're all sitting here and we're being realistic with ourselves, that's a lot of fucking work.
It's fun.
Okay, we did it. Right. We did it. We did like 4 or 5 customers that have been with us a really long time. We picked ones that have, you know, are on maintenance agreements and they've supported us. We want to, you know, do something cool for them. And we did it. Right. And 2 of the gifts really hit. Like people are like, holy shit, this is amazing. I can't believe you know this. Now you go in with your small company, you go in with your freaking iPhone and you do a customer testimonial video or something.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it.
Now, this whole deal where they're excited and they may leave a review or they may do whatever, but now you go in and you have this content and you can now push that to a paid ad. You can
put that
website. Hey, look how we treat our customers. And it's going to be this customer. It's like, hey, you know, I've been with you guys forever. Yeah. They're great. They come check, but holy shit, they came out and they, I can't believe the volume, just the quality of service and the care. Like, you, I've never seen
a whole
preach.
Yeah, because those are your biggest, those. So basic statistics, right? Everybody loves facts and numbers. So when they say the statistics on word of mouth marketing, right? Because that's what you're aiming for, is that you want them to tell people about their experience. They say on that 92% of consumers will trust somebody else telling them about that company. So they will trust your company 92% more than they would by seeing an ad or a billboard or something like that. That's just on the trust side. The side where you can influence people is 74%. Billboards is 10%, just a heads up. Local ads is roughly, I mean, everybody knows the statistics on conversion rate, right? You're roughly around 30 to 40%.
Yeah.
So you're at a 74% conversion rate on word of mouth. So you're not going to get high numbers, right? Yeah. You're looking at quality, not quantity on this one. And when you're looking at things as far as 94% trust and 74% conversion rate, that's massive. Uh-huh. So do that for a few people and you're going to be awesome. And then they go into a bunch of stuff. They say there's a 5 to 10% increase in sales just in getting with people who can give it that word of mouth. And if you're doing that and you're around for multiple, it's going to snowball. Every month, do 3 people every month. Yep. That's not that tough, right? You could do three people every single month. And by the end of that year, you could saturate an entire neighborhood, an entire area, an entire zip code just by doing that with word of mouth marketing.
Yep.
So,
yeah, 100%, man. 100%. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if there's – go ahead.
And to Tom's point, when you do it, let's say you buy the figurine for Betty, and then you go 4 doors down this way, 4 doors down this way. Guess who Betty's going to talk to when she's walking her dog?
Yeah.
The people that just got your flyer on their door, four doors down each way, her neighbors.
Yep.
And she's like, oh, yeah, they did this. It was super nice, super kind, right? That, then that. They're like, oh, yeah, well, I actually got that. You know what? Let me save that because now it's tied. Now I get a discount, and I just got trust and influence by my neighbor, Betty, who's super sweet. So things like that.
Yeah. No,
and that's how you compete with the big companies who are now buying everybody else up. You do things like that, nobody else is doing it. They're definitely not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, they're getting the handwritten letters that are AI generated.
Yeah.
And they don't have the imprint on them.
Honestly, probably not even that, guys.
They're probably not even getting that, to be honest.
No. Things get lazy when you got a bigger budget. I'll tell you that.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Because you got to think about $100,000 don't mean $100,000. $100,000 is a lot different to a $250 million company than to a $5 million company.
Yeah,
I'll put it that way. They're making $100,000 a week. So if they lose $100,000, they're not gonna chase $100,000 as hard as you're gonna chase.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. But guess what? How did they get to where they are? They did these things. You got to crawl before you run, right? So that's kind of the
And even if, like, that's a good point. Even if you are in the market where you feel like you're getting beat up by PE, which I mean, may have some effect on you. But like me and Jason were saying in the beginning, like Jason was saying, you probably weren't in the same ballpark anyway if they were buying them. You know, unless it's, you know, a super small firm of little guys that are buying a $2 million company, then maybe. Right. But it's, even if you hate them now, but you want to sell to them in 3 years, right. You still got to go through the steps, right.
You have to, everybody's done it. There's that's the one thing, you can't skip out on hard work.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be successful without the hard work unless you're born with a trust fund, and then you're typically going to blow through that trust fund and end up on the bottom and have to work hard to get back.
Yeah, no shit.
So you got to understand there's going to be labor intensiveness inside of this, and everything else is just an excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. So. No, 100%. Tom, you got anything else to wrap this bad boy up? I think we crushed this one. This was a good topic.
Yeah.
Oh, hold on.
Oh, I thought he left. He completely disappeared.
Anytime you got anything else? Yeah, see ya.
Yeah, I am out.
There's never, ever, ever any replacement for just treating the customer and making them feel welcome, wanted, important. And even though a pissed off customer will tell 10, 15 people and a happy customer will tell 2 or 3, bottom line is doing the right thing, providing a good service at a fair price will help you win the game. It takes a while, but doing the right thing is never the wrong thing.
Yeah, 100%. That's the way you win.
And that will always circle back to branding, which I promise you, I know we don't talk about branding a lot on here because we're talking about people to get that quick hit.
Yeah.
But you do have to have that element of branding because you don't want to be down the road 40 years and relying on Angie's.
Correct.
That means you missed the boat, right? Yeah. You missed all of that time to brand. So you got to slowly integrate it. And I'm not saying go sink your budget into branding out the gate, but you do have to implement that. And this ties right into all branding.
Correct. Yeah, no, absolutely. People are going to know and associate all these different things they've seen around the pat in the past years and customers' experience and what they know about you to your company. That's how you're going to win. And lastly, if you are in the Florida area and you're kind of screwed because you're going to get hit with a hurricane, you need a new system, people buy payments and Tom will take care of you.
Hey, real quick, last thing before we go, I do, this is one last trick that I did see somebody do and it worked out very, very well for them, was they started putting, you got to get the approval from customers, but they started putting customers' actual photo up on a billboard with their review. And it became kind of a thing where people wanted to be on that billboard. So they started using that company because they wanted the fame, the five minutes of fame on the highway.
That's sick.
Yeah. So that's just a little trick.
A little bit. Karen wants to be on the billboard.
Karen wants to be on that billboard.
All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one. Next one's 25. Who knows what we're going to talk about? Yes. We usually don't know until the couple seconds before anyway. So we'll see you then.
That's it. See ya.
Thank you.